And it is very interesting. Now I remember my first lesson. It was sort of 15 years ago in London on phenomenology of religion. And my first question was, what is the definition of God in Christianity? I do not want to discourage you. I had a class of 38 people, and not a single person answered that question. What is the definition of the simplest theological and, in a way, philosophical definition? What is God in Christianity? Try.
An unmoved mover. Unconditioned.
Oh well, cause. It is not Christian. It is Spinozian. It is Leibniz. I mean Christian theological definition of Christianity. Nobody can. Well, what is God? The answer is very simple. God is the Holy Trinity. Full stop. Please remember it till the end of your days. That's it. The simplest possible definition of God in Christianity. Not of the same God in Judaism. No, not in Islam, in Christianity. Yes. Simple, isn't it? That is God Father, God Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes. You didn't know about that. Isn't it interesting? It simply confirms my idea of absolute philosophical decline of Christianity. But it doesn't mean that your knowledge of Christianity is practically nil because of that decline. The other way around, decline is caused by what? That your knowledge is... Yeah. Never confuse the cause and effect, yes. Now, again, Bhakti Buddhism is the idea of absolute. Absolute in Buddhism philosophy figures on two plans. Absolute as such, in itself, absoluteness. Absolute as absolute as existing irrespective of what you know about it or do not know about it. Irrespective of whether you do exist or you do not exist at all, or nobody exists in the universe. That is what in Buddhism means absolute. Or, as one of my earliest teachers liked to formulate it, he said, man, remember that absolute, there is, it does exist, no matter whether you do exist or not. As you probably know, again, two very important terms which were worked out in Christian and European theology and philosophy rings about immanence and transcendence. What does it mean? You remember? Who remembers? Andrea, you are my last hope, last resort and last shelter.
Yes.
The Buddhist. Yes. Last shelter. Immanence and transcendence. Immanent is... is... Yes, please?
What is transcendence? It's like you're outside of your own experience.
Sorry?
Transcendence is not going outside of your own experience.
Good. And immanence is that of which we may think what?
Permanent?
Nothing to do with it. No. Immanent, which means that it is in the very nature of everything what there is, and also in yourself. In this connection, the Buddhist idea of the absolute is, in the first place, absolutely transcendent. Absolutely transcendent. Now, the second moment. Buddhist idea of absolute figures on simultaneously on two planes, on two levels. That is, the absolute as it is, yes, and the absolute as it is, or as it may be known. And what corresponds in our vocabulary to the absolute is the idea of truth. So we have, when we speak about the Buddhist idea of the absolute, we have a kind, we have to imagine it also as an absolute truth, in Sanskrit paramartha satya. But what is absolute truth in this context? Of course, the simple answer is what the Buddha said. Yes, but what about us? What about his pupils? What about his pupils? And then the first philosophical question, which was broadly discussed at the beginning of the first millennium AD in the Buddhist, in the Buddhist universities, schools, other places in North India. But can we say, or could we say, that what the Buddha says, his own words, Buddha Vachana in Sanskrit, his own words about the absolute, can it be regarded as absolute? That is words. But words, you are hearing them, yes. And your hearing is imperfect and far from the absolute, yes. But at the same time, taking into account some possible elements of immanence, we may gather, we may reckon, yes, that, well, also our knowledge may or may not share of something of the absolute we know, yes? The idea of truth, satya, in Buddhism also has, as it were, two aspects. The absolute truth, that is, the absolute, which is also the absolute truth. But we believe our knowledge? No, we can't. We are no Buddhists, you must agree with that. So our knowledge of the absolute cannot be adequate to the absolute itself. It is one of the most important ideas of the, not only of the Buddhist theory of absolute, but also of the Buddhist epistemology, Buddhist theory of knowledge. Okay, now. And that is why that very conception of knowledge was worked out somewhere in the second of the third century AD as itself dual. Absolute knowledge, paramartha satya, and relative knowledge, some verity satya. It's a very interesting concept. Okay, now let us try to think of the absolute again in its absolute transcendence. That is, we may forget about knowledge for the time. That is, absolute as it is, not as we know it. Absolute without us. Well, more active, not just themselves, distressed,
sorry.
That is existing in its absoluteness as it is. And here we are coming across across a very significant Buddhist philosophical idea of tathāta, suchness. absolute as such. At the same time, we may imagine.
I would like to stress the word imagine,
a very important term in Buddhist philosophy. We may imagine the absolute not only as existing, but existing on various levels of its existence.
Yes.
By the way, such truth as, for instance, the Christian truth that God is the Holy Trinity, has no levels of one level. That is, on that level, it is formulated in the foundations of Christian theology, and on that level, it figures in sermons, yes, in the churches, in theological faculties of various universities in the United States. Okay, not so in Buddhism. And that, shall we say, three-levelness of the idea of the Absolute is connected with the central idea of Buddhist religion and philosophy, the idea of Buddha. As I have already told you, the Buddhas of the past, present, and future, yes. And also, the Buddhas differ from one another in terms of their functioning as regards awakening and enlightening other sentient beings. So the Buddhas are divided into two main categories, which? Teaching Buddhas and non-teaching Buddhas. That is, those who know all, who had already achieved the highest state of awakening, but do not teach. Or lonely and silent Buddhas. In Pali, Pacheka Buddhas, and Sanskrit, Pratyeka Buddhas. Okay. In time, we may establish the levels of the Buddhahood as regards our own potential and our own possibility to cognize the Buddha. Here we have a kind of transition from the immanent level of the Absolute to from the transcendent level of the Absolute to its immanent. So let us start with the highest level. Each level is, for convention's sake, designated by the word body. In English, body. In Sanskrit, kaya. K-A-long-Y-A. Kaya. So, on that highest level, we have the idea of absolute as Dharmakaya. That is, Buddha as having his body, which is Dharma. Dharma not only in the sense of the teaching, but Dharma in the sense, in the broader sense of awakened or enlightened consciousness. At Dharmakaya, on the level of the path, you remember, corresponds to another aspect of the Absolute. What is the aim of the Noble Eightfold Path?
Achieve Nirvana.
Splendid. So, in terms of the path, in terms of the Noble Eightfold Path,
Dharmakaya corresponds to Nirvana. Very important point in Buddhist philosophy. As the kind of focus and center of Buddhist religious philosophy, Dharmakaya, while corresponding to Nirvana, I will put it here, Dharmakaya, following Konza, Dharmakaya, while corresponding on the level of the path, B capital, to Nirvana, as the final stage and the aim and target of path, Dharmakaya can be seen as a certain point in cosmological, it is a path, as of the cosmological picture in Buddhist philosophy. Now, so Dharmakaya as the highest level of being, in ancient Greek, being, ontos, yes, as a kind of ontological center of Buddhist philosophy, which corresponds on the one hand to the target and aim on the level of paths, of the paths, but at the same time all other paths, to all other elements, beings and phenomena of the universe. Now, in this connection, yes please?
Is Dharmakaya something that say a Buddha is
knowledge
that you
have? No. Excellent, sir. Exactly, it is what the Buddha is. I would like to underline here the ontological sense. That is, really is. At the same time, Dharmakaya corresponds to everything that is its lines of correspondence, yes, they as it were go into the infinity of cosmic dimensions in space. And it cannot be temporally ascertained, because the idea of the Dharmakaya is purely spatial. It's very interesting, because, as I have already told you, there are only two unconditioned dharmas, two, shall we say, unconditioned phenomena in the universe. The first is Nirvana, and the second is space, because the time is considered in Buddhism as a function of your psychical mechanism, as your own creation, as your own mental creation, while space, sir, does not depend on your psyche. Do not want to disappoint. Very interesting, because if you take the general theory of relativity by saying this is not absolutely independent. General theory of relativity of Einstein, it depends on what? With what? Gravitation, because it changes the space and determines, it is a discovery of Einstein, so-called curvature of space. While in the Buddhist philosophy, space is that where waking takes. And the Buddhas are, as it were, points and moments in that space. In other words, space it's thought about in the Buddhist philosophy as impossible without its main organizing factor, which is the Buddhas. It is very interesting because we read in the one of the most important early Buddhist sutras, Mahaparinibbana Sutra, sutra or tale, okay, about the final departure of Lord Buddha. And you know, which were the last words of the Buddha addressed to his pupils? Pupils, of course, started crying, yes. Oh, Buddha, you are leaving us, yes, yes. A normal rubbish, yes. How will we manage without you? And then the Buddha said, remember, it's not me who is everything. It is the Dharma. The Dharma as teaching and the Dharma as enlightened, the enlightened or awakened consciousness. So if you persevere in Dharma, if you learn the Dharma, if you teach the Dharma, if you experience the Dharma, if you are indebted to enterprise, ardent, burning, energetic, yes, and concentrated, you will do without me. And if you are banal, inactive, yes, that is normal, yes? I like it. Yes, as we all are, then no Buddha, however great, may help you. No chance then. Again, it's very interesting. Because the accent is made here on, in a way, in terms of what I said about the absolute, on the immanence, yes. And then he said, be lamps for yourself. Goodbye. That's, he knew perfectly well the nature of his pupils, or of all the things. Okay, now. Look at this scheme, you will see here the level of the path, that's the level on which some men and women, and sometimes animals, yes, and gods have already entered the Eightfold Noble Path. And the level, if we can call it a level, of the Dharmakaya, Dharma body of Buddha. What is very, very interesting here? What this is the space, the region between these two levels. And it is this space which is as a whose existence is as it were induced and activated by the Dharmakaya, by the Absolute. And it is this place where very many phenomena may happen. More than that. Look, in this space, the space is limited by the level of the path, with all its pupils, followers, and by the not yet achieved super nirvanic level of the Dharmakaya. So in a way, in order to understand that, try to imagine that this intermediate space is in, as it were, its existence. It is not absolute. It is induced. It is organized by the absolute of the Dharmakaya. But first of all, who will lead those on the path towards Nirvana? Look, it is the Buddha, or shall we say a Buddha. is the second idea, but that Buddha, he, for him to lead us towards Nirvana on the path, he must be what? Presented as in way, one of us, yes, to be your teacher. Can you imagine, yes? Your teacher made of the subtlest matter, which is unseeable, unhearable, yes, beyond thinking, beyond perception, and beyond imagination. Such a teacher cannot teach you, yes. That is why the first instance of that induction, of that inducement, is that from the Dharmakaya it's issued that which is called the Buddha's, let us call it human body, yes. It is constructed, artificially constructed here on the level of Dharmakaya. Of course, it is not a real human body. You understand it? Still, to teach you, one must have some body, some form. That is why sometimes it is called Rupakaya. The body of the form. Its usual way is Nirmanakaya. Nirmana means construction, constructed. That is the body which is constructed on the level of Dharmakaya and issued therefrom. But this body has no permanent existence. Yes, sir? Nirmanakaya. Yes. Yes, issued from Dharmakaya to teach the pupils and followers on the path. Of course, yes?
What's the difference between Rupa and Kaya?
Sorry?
What's the difference between Rupa and Kaya?
Sometimes there is no difference, because Kaya is also Rupa. But there are some other. Rupa is a more general notion. That Nirmanakaya is illustrated by the Buddha's own words. It is me as artificially constructed by me here, where there is no you, there is no me, but it is simply for your sake. That is human body, and in the case of Buddha, still possessed of the 32 or 64, it depends on the text, various physical features. Those knowledgeable ones, they may discern what is a normal human body and what is a Buddha's human body or Nirmanakaya. It is also one of the, though it is a side problem, but it is very important. You may even say, as it is said in various later Mahayana sources, you may say that in a way it is material, but made of what? A special kind of matter. Yes, Andrea? Very special kind of matter. I will give you very few features of that strange, sometimes it is called strange human body, but constructed in such a way that knowledgeable ones could see it as not as a body of this or that miller or blacksmith, but specifically the body of the Buddha or a Buddha. First of all, it's very, very interesting, but you will see it in Buddhist icons. Yes. Very, very long. Sometimes they are called
eight-like. Yes. One. And then another, and very long fingers. Probably one of the most interesting physical features is, but yes.
I'm not sure what the term is,
but
one of Buddha received.
Yes, Ushnisha. Yes, here. Very, but how would you render it into English again?
It's an extension of his
yes, absolutely so. But probably the first physical sign or mark is extraordinary heaviness. Nobody can lift it. Nobody can carry it. And when the Buddha died, with great difficulty, 64 tribesmen were able to lift his body and bring it towards the funeral pyre. Yes. But, okay, enough with it. Now we are coming to the third body. That is that body of Buddha, that body of the Buddha, which as it were exists, please, all my users of the terms to be or to exist, you have to, in connection with the Buddhas or with Nirvana, you have to put into double quotes. But the thing is, that apart from existing on the level of Dharmakaya, or primary causal level, which itself has no causes and conditions of its being, and the level of the paths, which is partly conditioned, we have an special intermediate level, which is a level of, in Sanskrit, Sambhogakaya, the third body of the Buddha. The level of the Sambhogakaya is also induced by, and in a way constructed or created by, or from the Dharmakaya. But while, now listen, why the Nirmanakaya, however imperfectly, can be perceived by your organs of senses, yes, with its 32 or 64 distinctive marks, and why the level of Dharmakaya for those on the path cannot be perceived or thought about in any way. Yes, because it is absolutely transcendent. The Sambhogakaya, which literally can be rendered into English as the body of enjoyment or the body of experience, which is, by the way, the same. Yes, that Sambhogakaya can be perceived or thought about, but only by a yogically trained mind and yogically transformed perception. And it is in his Sambhogakaya that Buddha the Lord used to appear before his pupils, but only before those had already become highly trained and experienced yogis. You understand that? Yes? 3 minutes for smoking, and we will continue.